2 days. The Cobras advanced to tonight's game with a 7-6 win over Kankakee yesterday. The St. Louis Cardinals have won 2 in a row and 7 of their last 9 heading into tonight's matchup with the San Francisco Giants. Ted Lilly is slated to take the mound for the Chicago Cubs this afternoon when they face the Los Angeles Dodgers at Wrigley Field. And the Chicago White Sox are on the road tonight in Kansas City. The Royals have won 4 of 5 against the Sox so far this season. That's sports.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Warden Martin Subaru in Savoy. At Subaru's assembly plant in Lafayette, Indiana, a zero landfill status is designed to save cost and our future environment. It is part of what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Information online at wardenmartin.com or 352-8910.
For the first time, Illinois lawmakers are poised to limit the contributions that can be given to candidates for public office in Illinois. The Senate approved the proposal last night. The House is expected to do the same. And Governor Pat Quinn says he plans to sign it. That's despite the objections of good government advocates, including Quinn's hand-picked Reform Commission. Todd Feuer has details.
Supporters admit their plan's not perfect, but they say it's better than the current laws on campaign contributions. Right now, there is no limit on how much money candidates can collect from donors. Approved almost entirely along party lines in the Senate, the measure would limit candidates to taking $5,000 a year from individuals, $10,000 from unions, corporations, or other independent organizations, and $90,000 in transfers from committees run by legislative leaders or state parties. Those caps are at least twice as much as those recommended by the Illinois Reform Commission formed by Governor Pat Quinn. Commission Chairman Pat Collins says the group favored mirroring limits at the federal level.
Why should it be that someone can give more money to a state rep than the President of the United States? And I'm not sure that's one I've heard a very good answer to during the course of this discussion.
Despite the concerns from his hand-picked commission, Quinn says he will sign the proposal. In testimony before a Senate committee, he said he never meant to use a take-it-or-leave-it approach for the commission's recommendations.
I think there are a lot of different ideas, and I respect everyone's idea. But in a democracy, when all is said and done, we have to come up with a reform package that commands majorities in both houses, can come to the governor to be signed into law.
And despite the commission's disappointment, Quinn calls it landmark legislation. He says it's the best the state can do right now. But government watchdog groups say that's not true. Former U.S. Attorney Anton Valukas, a member of Change Illinois, a coalition of groups pushing for campaign finance reform, says lawmakers should not rush to approve legislation he says is fatally flawed.
This bill is deficient because it does not go far enough. And so rather than doing something which you get it partially correct, my strong suggestion to you is do it so you get it 100% correct, because the subject matter is so important.
Valukas complained that the legislation lacks limits on so-called in-kind contributions, such as offering campaign workers or use of a hall or church for a political rally. Republicans echoed those sentiments and also criticized the measure for allowing lawmakers to form multiple political committees. Senate Republican leader Christine Redonio.
This bill encourages the proliferation of lots and lots of committees, all of whom have a $90,000 contribution limit.
Redonio says that would allow lawmakers to funnel huge sums of money to favored candidates. But Senate President John Cullerton says Republican leaders have not hesitated to give hundreds of thousands of dollars to their own candidates in the past. He cited a list of transfers Republican senators have gotten from their leaders.
Dan Duffy got $296,432.50 last year transferred to him, and now it's going to go down to $90. That's real change. Call the citizens for Matt Murphy. He got $154,531 transferred into his account. Now it's only going to be $90. That's real change. Change you can believe in.
Supporters of the contribution cap say they're willing to amend the legislation later on to address the concerns of reform groups, but it's widely acknowledged that that's unlikely. Illinois legislators have resisted contribution caps for years. It wasn't until the scandal over former Governor Rob Blagojevich on corruption charges that it finally happened. Reform Commission member David Hoffman, the Inspector General for the City of Chicago, says this has been a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for major reform.
What's going on right now, this moment in terms of the pressure, in terms of the attention, in terms of the anger, is unlikely to be repeated. I mean, the fact that the governor had been impeached and indicted and it was the second in a row, and that that got national attention in part because of who the president-elect was, those circumstances are really unlikely to be repeated.
The new limits in the proposal would not go in effect until 2011. Opponents say that will lead to an explosion of fundraising for next year's election, while unlimited donations remain in place. I'm Todd Fuhrer.
The Champaign Public Library stops its bookmobile service today, retiring the library on wheels after 47 years of service. AM 580 intern Marissa Monson sat on the bus for one of its last stops.
St. John's Lutheran School in Champaign is getting its final visit from the bookmobile. Library assistant Jenny McManus checks books in while bookmobile driver Denatra Brown keeps busy helping the children on the bus. A few teachers hug Brown on their way out the door. Children climb in the bus, returning their books. They look around the collection and then file out the door by Brown's post near the exit. For Brown, Friday will mark the end of a long ride. She's been driving the bus for almost 20 years. The areas that the bookmobile serves have changed since Brown began driving, but she says she has also watched the children change. They grow up, and a new crop of kids and parents climb on the bus.
Each stop we have, you know, I won't say favorites because everybody that comes is a favorite at every stop. But we really get to know each neighborhood and the families that are there, and we get to see, you know, the babies. Then we get to see the kids go off to college. And so that's part of the fun of the bookmobile.
Shelves line the bookmobile walls. They hold adult fiction titles by authors like Stephen King and Mary Higgins Clark, along with children's books, magazines, and DVDs. Signs hang on the walls. One exclaims, "Reading is adventure." But the bookmobile is old, and it became clear to the library they needed a new vehicle to continue offering bookmobile services. The library was inundated with maintenance bills, and they were looking at a $200,000 price tag to replace the old bus. So the library decided to retire the services. The bookmobile serves more than 400 patrons a week and stops at approximately 20 Champaign locations, including schools like St. John's, as well as shopping centers and neighborhood. Brown is busy preparing to move the collection back to the library.
We weed, which is to take off things that don't go. So this week, we'll be weeding. We will be returning everything from these shelves to the inside shelves.
Fourth grade teacher Martha Milas says she has been coming to the bookmobile with her class for many years. She says the bookmobile gave her class another venue to get new books.
The ladies on the bookmobile are fantastic, and I will really miss them.
The bookmobile's final stop is Friday at the Glenshire neighborhood. Then, Denatra Brown, the bookmobile lady, will report to her new, less portable post behind the circulation desk at Champaign Public Library. I'm Marissa Monson, AM 580 News.
It's 2:48. Coming up this afternoon on The World from PRI, why was Israel blindsided by the 1973 Arab invasion? How did it misread a massive military buildup on its border? A new book says people's brains are wired to see only the facts that fit their understanding and ignore inconvenient truths. The Science of Groupthink. That story in the day's news coming up on The World this afternoon at 3 o'clock. Well, here's a golden oldie from the 1980s. That was the theme song to Pac-Man. As video game music goes, it wasn't very sophisticated. That has changed. That's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir providing the musical accompaniment as a spaceship docks and prepares to blast an opponent to smithereens. The music is part of the soundtrack to a game called Advent Rising. The score's composer is Tommy Tallarico. He's one of the best-known composers for video game music. Next week, he'll take part in a big video game conference in Los Angeles. And ahead of the conference, he was a guest on Morning Edition. He spoke with David Green.
I want to ask you about an example of your music that we're going to play a bit of here. I believe this is Evil Dead Battle. So, Mr. Tallarico, one thing that you've said is that if Beethoven were alive today, he would be composing music for video games. Why exactly do you believe that?
Well, Beethoven was always ahead of the curve, right? I mean, he was always one step ahead of everybody else.
Cutting edge.
The reality is that the difference between being a composer for film and television as opposed to the interactive world of video games. There's many differences. Film and television tell stories. So a lot of the times the music is underneath the dialogue. They call it background music, whereas in video games, I like to call it foreground music because, you know, we get the action scene almost every time.
Given the luxuries and sort of freedom that you have, are there TV film composers who want to jump into video games or already have?
Oh, absolutely. It goes both ways, really. To name some of the more famous film composers that have done games, Howard Shore, Lord of the Rings, he did a video game called Sun. Bill Conti, who's probably best well-known for creating music for the original Rocky films. He's the Italian composer, so they got him to come in and do the score for the Godfather video game.
We have some music from a video game called Fable, and that I believe is Danny Elfman, who did the Batman movie theme and now worked his way into the world of video game music and did the music for this. Is that right?
He did the main title theme for Fable.
How much does it cost to make this kind of music?
Yeah, you know, it really varies. Just like in films, you have your big blockbuster AAA titles, and then you have your independent films. You know, games could spend anywhere from $50,000 upwards to $1 million. I would say that probably the average is, you know, anywhere from $250,000 to $400,000.
I want to play a little bit of a musician who a lot of young people know well, Avril Lavigne. As I understand it, she actually feels like she was in a way discovered through video games. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, Avril Lavigne, bands like Good Charlotte, you know, they all, owe a lot of their gaining popularity early on and exposure to, by having songs in video games. Think about it. With video games, people, you know, sometimes play 20, 30, 40 hours a week. So that music is always kind of, you know, in your face. You're talking hundreds and hundreds of hours of exposure constantly to music. So it's, you know, it's really really a very cool thing.
Guess it's time to hook up my iPod to video games and download from there. Tommy Tallarico, video game music composer, enjoy the big conference in L.A. next week.
Thank you so much.
Composer Tommy Tallarico spoke with NPR's David Green. Next, Los Angeles Times and NPR film critic Kenneth Turan looks at the 10th Pixar offering, Up.
Up, Pixar's latest effort, is not only good, it's one of their best. The credit goes to co-writers and directors Pete Docter and Bob Peterson. They came up with the idea of a cranky 78-year-old named Carl, voiced by Ed Asner, floating off to parts unknown when his house gets hoisted into the air by exactly 20,622 humans. Also along for the ride is a pesky 8-year-old who stows away.
I don't want to walk anymore. Can we stop?
Russell, if you don't hurry up, the tigers will eat you.
There are no tigers in South America. Zoology.
Ah, for the love of Pete. Go on into the bushes and do your business.
Okay, here, hold my stuff.
Because Up is a Pixar film, it's of course clever and playful. It also has the high excitement of an adventure story and enough menace to make it only the second Pixar film to be rated PG instead of G. There's also the wordless visual magic of that floating balloon-powered house, as well as a genuinely wacky sense of humor involving a pack of dogs equipped with collars that turn their canine thoughts into words. As if all this wasn't enough, Up also generates genuine emotion by dealing unapologetically with one of Hollywood's last and most persistent taboos, old people.
So, you want to assist an old person?
Yep. Then I'll be a senior wilderness explorer.
Instead of a Clint Eastwood-type senior citizen who is fitter than people half his age, Up gives us a man who uses a walker and can't handle stairs.
Slow down.
Wet large 12.
Kid,
Are you in need of
Thank
any
you,
assistance
but I don't need
today?
Any help.
But still manages to be a hero when it counts. Up's multi-minute montage of the long married life of Carl and his wife Ellie is a small gem, and one that will stay with you for a lifetime. If parts of Up don't bring a tear to your eye, I just don't want to hear about it.
Kenneth Turan reviews movies for Morning Edition and the Los Angeles Times.
With Memorial Day in the rearview mirror and summer on the horizon, it's a perfect time for books. And we've got some suggestions.
There's teenage lust kind of gone absolutely wild. Runaways, drunks, trains, shipwrecks, Mother Nature raging out of control.
And that's just one book. Ideas for summer reading later today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.
Earth and Sky.
Today, Paula Schnur, a leading expert on post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, at the Department of Veterans Affairs. She told Earth Sky that 15% of those serving in Iraq might suffer from this disorder.
We estimate that about 15% of the men and women who are serving in Iraq have PTSD. That's a large number when you think about the total number who have served there.
Extreme stress, torture, rape, battle conditions, and so on create PTSD. Schnur described PTSD sufferers as having stress responses in overdrive. They have trouble concentrating, they're jumpy and keyed up.
They have nightmares or they have these intrusive memories and recollections coming at them when they least expect it.
Schnur explained that post-traumatic stress disorder has come into our consciousness in the U.S. more acutely in recent years after the collective national trauma of 9/11. The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan that followed have boosted the awareness.
And it reminds us what a significant impact going to war can have on an individual's mental health.
She said effective treatment for easing PTSD is available in the form of psychotherapy and medications. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.
Support for today's broadcast comes from the Yoga Institute of Champaign-Urbana, offering beginner-level instruction in Iyengar yoga and special classes for men, women, teens, seniors, knees, low back, neck, shoulders, and plus sizes. New classes start the first week of June. Information at 344-YOGA or on the web at yoga-cu.com.
It's 2 minutes before 3 o'clock. This is Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana. WILL thanks Jack and Marjorie Richmond for